All right, grab your Bible this morning and turn with me to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. Okay, I'm going to move somewhat quickly this morning, but before I do, I would like to preface my message this morning. I want to share with you just my heart and some of what obviously I imagine every pastor goes through and labors through throughout the week on what God would have give to his people. Amen. But I have been pastoring now for over 23 years. I have been preaching for 34 plus years. There are times and messages throughout those annals of decades that bear repeating. And I have always wondered, I mentioned in Sunday school this morning, but I can be accused of and I am guilty of a number of different things, but being unprepared and unstudious has never been one of them. Amen. But through time, the Lord lays certain messages on your heart that you realize are things that need to be repeated because we need to remember. And we as God's people, we have a tendency, not purposely to forget, but we kind of fall out of the remembrance of, and sometimes things just need to be recalled, okay? You say, well, you know, there are messages, a message that I've heard before, okay? If you have that line of thinking, this particular message is probably going to hit very home for you, okay? Because, friend, if it's things that you've heard before, then think to yourself, God wants me to recall this. He's put it on our pastor's heart for a reason. And I promise you, it's not because I didn't take time to study. Okay? If it's something I know many of you have not heard before, I pray that you would allow it to set in. Because here's why. My style that God developed many years ago, friend, has never been one to get up and preach on sin, you know, seven different ways and, you know, as they say, seven different ways and twice on Sunday or however they make that statement, okay? I'm not being critical of that. I'm not saying anything against that. But I can get up here and I can yell about sin of the world and get you all encouraged and stirred up. But you walk out of here thinking, well, that was a great message, but you know, I've personally been challenged. I've personally gotten a lot of help because I already knew the sin of the world. Okay? And salvation is a story that ought never grow old. Okay? But friend, listen. At least for me and what God has laid upon my heart as a pastor has been one to develop and preach content that help you as a child of the living God for things that occur in your life. Okay? And I'm not minimizing, please, whatsoever. I preach salvation messages, but I'm not going to preach salvation every week. Okay? I preach about the sin of the world, but I'm not going to preach about the sin of the world every week. Why? Because, may I be honest with you, I don't think I have a congregation full of drunks. I don't believe that there are any of you going home and sticking a needle in your arm. You're not snorting crystal meth for lunch. Come on. Okay? I'm not aware of any of you that are cheating on your spouse today. But watch this. There are things that we need challenged about. You know, sometimes you've heard me refer to them as Christian sins. Not reading my Bible faithfully. It's it. Amen. Okay? Not having a structured prayer life. Friend, it's sin. It's defying God's command. Amen. Okay? Watch this. Not prioritizing God Almighty, His work through our premier efforts is sin. Amen? Okay? Not balancing a work schedule and a faith schedule and a family schedule. And listen, that can also be calculated as sin. Okay? And sometimes we need to be reminded of those things because, watch, those things, the more we change them and better them, the better off we are as sons and daughters of the living Savior we serve. Amen? Amen? This morning is a subject that I've spoke of on times past. This particular message I have preached twice before in the last 7 years. The last time was about 3.5 years ago. Okay? It is a subject that, please listen to me, we need to be reminded about. Okay? It is something that God's people fall prey to, and when we get out of sorts with, it affects everything in our life. Amen? So as we walk through this morning, again, if you're one who says, oh, I've heard this before, I know what he's going to say, I know where he's going with this, I've heard this message before, then you probably need to listen a little bit closer because you may be in the circumstance that God laid this on my heart concerning. Amen? Because it is a subject we need to be reminded of. All right? If you have Numbers chapter 11, stand with me, please. Numbers chapter 11, first 10 verses. Beginning in verse 1, Numbers chapter 11. Are you there this morning?
Amen.
Are you awake?
Yes, sir.
Are you with me? Hallelujah. The Bible says, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it. And his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them, consumed them that they were in the uttermost parts, them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. Please take note of that statement. And people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Deborah, because the fire of the Lord burned among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our souls dried away. There's nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. And the manna was a coriander seed, and the color thereof was the color of bdellium. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills and beat it in mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was like the taste of what?
Fresh oil.
And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. Well, God, we pray for the next few moments, Lord, that you'd give us a sincerity of heart and thought, and that, Lord God, our attentiveness, Lord God, would be upon your word this morning and the message that you have for each and every one of us individually. And that, Father God, we would be receptive, Lord, Father, to this particular topic that, Lord God, affects us all and is a battle, Lord God, that each and every one of us must fight for your glory. Father, I pray for your blessing upon the preaching of your word. Hide me, Lord God, so that you may be seen. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks, we don't find ourselves far too often discontent with the blessings that God has given us. But there are times when we're not careful that we do have a tendency to fall into a discontentment, even being as blessed as we bountifully are. In one breath, we speak of how blessed we are in Jesus, all while in the next breath, we find ourselves complaining about the manner or state in which those very same blessings are given. A statement I make often, I will continue to make. As long as I serve here, you will hear me make this statement regularly. Attitude is everything. Attitude is everything. There's absolutely no way of getting around it, people. The manner in which I see something, whether it is a circumstance or a condition, will determine the positive or negative vision or perspective I place upon it. Ladies and gentlemen, no matter how difficult something is, no matter how hopeless a circumstance becomes, it will most likely never experience victory at the end of that journey if I face the challenge of it with a poor attitude, without prayer, and without application of the very faith that I profess to lean upon. If those elements are not prevalent, pertinent, and visible as you walk through a circumstance, listen to me, you may get through the circumstance, but it will not be victorious. You'll get through it at best. The story is told about two wives who were doing their laundry at the laundromat together. They were both mending their husband's pants. One wife said, "I just don't understand it." She said, "My husband's so miserable. Nothing goes right at work. He can't find anything good on television. Our home is a place of despair. When we go to church, the song leader's terrible and the pastor's an idiot." The other wife, she kind of looked a little flabbergasted, if you will, and she said, "Wow." She said, "My husband's actually completely the opposite of that." She said, "He's so excited at times, it draws attention because of it. He can't wait to go to church. He loves the sermons. We laugh all the time. We enjoy life. We enjoy our family. We enjoy our friends. God is good to us." It got quiet in the laundry room. The women continued sewing the pants. One was patching the seat of the pants. The other one was patching the knees. See, friend, my attitude affects everything about me. My attitude is most definitely affected by the relationship I have with my Lord Jesus Christ. Too many times, on the other hand, our attitude is connected to our insatiable wants and, yes, over expectations. See, we often come to the point where we expect to get certain blessings that God never promised us. And when they do not come, it becomes easier to get bitter, which now the attitude I carry and relay to others is horrible. Another statement. Friend, do we understand God owes us nothing? I don't have God's blessings coming to me. I'm not owed God's blessings. God chooses to bless me out of his grace, his mercy, and his benevolence. But I don't have any of that coming. I've asked you to find Numbers chapter 11 this morning. And there is most definitely a few lessons, I believe, if we'd be willing to lend our hearts together for a few moments, that I would like to help so many of us in this area of positive thinking and walking in the energetic perspective of life. Because listen, friend, hear me well. A poor attitude is sin. Now, you don't preach on sin, preacher. A poor attitude, friend, is sin. God has been good to us. And to display anything other is wrong. The message this morning I've titled, Attrition of attitude. Attrition of attitude. Friend, the word attrition means abrasion. It means the act of wearing by friction. It means rubbing substances together. It means a state of being worn. Listen, when I walk around in life with an abrasion or wearing by friction of my attitude, which is causing a poor result, everything in my life and personality now becomes affected. The state of my attitude being worn in that manner is an attrition of attitude. Now, I need you to hold your place there in Numbers chapter 11 because we'll be right back to our passage. But I need you to turn back to the book of Exodus chapter 16 with me as I develop the thought and where its origins are from. We need to take a quick moment this morning and lay a foundation which will most likely definitely affect the understanding that the symbolic journey that we're about to walk has. If you look at Exodus chapter 16, let me know when you're there, and I would like to point out something very significant which will establish my latter points that I will get to. Are you there in Exodus 16 with me?
Amen.
Look at verse 14. Bible says, and when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. When the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna. For they wished not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather it, every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in the tents, or in his tent. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. Do you see it? And Moses said, let no man leave it till morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left it until morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted. And it came to pass on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man, as the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seed that which ye will seed. And that which remaineth over, lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up until the morning, and Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. Obviously, God provided for the Sabbath. Amen. Now, this was the manna from heaven that would feed the Israelites, ultimately, friend, 40 years. Amen. Now, there's something vitally important that I must point out to you. Okay? Look at verse 31 of that same chapter. And some of you know where I'm going, but please remember my introduction to you and my speak to you. Okay? Think about what the message is and the reminder which we need. Okay? Look at verse 31 of Exodus 16. The Bible says, the house of Israel called the name thereof manna. And it was like a coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like fresh oil. Wafers made with honey. Oh, it tasted differently. Now, if you stay with me for just a moment, I need you to see the chronology of this event. Okay, so the first three verses of this chapter in chapter 16, stay with me. They took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came onto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month, get the chronology, the 15th day of the second month after the departing out of Egypt. And the whole congregation, the children of Israel, murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Folks, the Bible says this is but 2.5 months after they departed out of Egypt, correct? I mean, they've just gone through the 10 plagues. They've watched God open up the Red Sea. They've watched God destroy the most powerful army on the face of the planet. Friend, listen to me. They are literally 2.5 months removed from that and watching that and seeing the power of God. Are you listening? And what does it say the manna, which was like coriander seed, tasted like? Wafers made with honey. They were blessed to have it. God hath provided bread from heaven. God is feeding us in the wilderness. Honey, friend, is sweet and pleasant to the taste buds, is it not? When God had first given them the manna, which they would gather every morning for their fill of the day, with the expectation of twice as much Friday and not at all on Saturday, listen, it was pleasing to them. It was seen as a miraculous blessing from God. Is that right? It was joyful to the eye. It was sweet and receptive to the taste. This is a blessing from God. Now turn back to our text this morning in Numbers chapter 11. At this time in the Exodus from Egypt, if I read my Bible correctly, this morning is the 20th day of the second month of the second year. And I say if I read my Bible correctly because, listen, these two events, if you were to read the details, are very similar in nature and occurrence, and therefore many people confuse them to be the same occurrence just recorded in different passages, if you will, like some of the Gospels. But friend, the reality of it is these are two different events at two different times with a segment of 2 years in between. Don't miss what happens. Numbers chapter 1. I know, you hold your finger there. We'll be to 11. Go to number 1. Numbers 1:1. I want to show this to you and lay it out for you in a foundation. That way it's God's word speaking, not mine. Amen? Bible said in Numbers chapter 1, verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the tabernacle of the congregation on the first day of the second month in the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying, do you see it? So the book of Numbers is beginning the chronology in the first day of the second month of the second year, correct? Verse 1. Now look at chapter 9, verse 1. Numbers chapter 9, verse 1 says, and the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai the first month of the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying. So as the book of Numbers begins unpacking the events recorded here, verse 9 tells me, similar to verse 1, it is the first month of the second year. Is everybody still with me? Look at verse 11 of chapter 10. And it came to pass on the 20th day of the second month in the second year that the cloud was taken up from off the tabernacle of the testimony. Now we see recorded the 20th day of the second month of the second year, right? So would everybody agree, according to God's word, this is the second year in which they have made the Exodus out of Egypt, right? God told us numerous times, yes? No disputing. Now, why is this so important for our story this morning? I'm so glad you ask. Hey? You see, when they were first given the blessing of manna back in Exodus chapter 16, listen to me, it excited them. It encouraged them. It was a miracle. It was food from God out of heaven. It tasted great. It was like wafers made with honey. It was sweet to the taste. It was appealing, Miss Jenny. It was enjoyable. God feeding us in the desert. But 2 years later, the Bible says that they were not nearly as excited about the very same blessing of God from the very same God out of the very same heaven. Yes or no? What changed? The manna didn't change. God didn't change. What changed? Their attitude changed. And with their attitude, changed their perspective. Don't miss the lesson. Perception is 95% of reality, friend. The way you see something is the way it is for you. Somebody else can be looking at something very, very identical and see something completely different because their thoughts upon it are different. Amen. Amen. If you'd look at it with me in our text this morning, we're going to unpack this, but look at what their impression of this same manna from heaven is 2 years later. In verse 6 of Numbers chapter 11, the Bible says, "Now our souls dried away, and there is nothing at all besides this stinking manna to eat." It's all we got. It's all God's given us. We got these wafers laying here in the morning. And the manna was as a coriander seed. Well, that's identical to what it looked like 2 years ago. Hello? Yeah. The color of it thereof was the color of bdellium. That was the same color it was 2 years ago. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills and beat it in mortar and baked in pans and made cakes of it. It was the same. It was exactly what they did 2 years ago. But the taste of it now is like fresh oil. Now they're saying things like nothing but this measly old manna that looks like wafers to eat. Before it was food from heaven. But now don't miss this. Now it tastes like to them fresh oil instead of wafers of honey. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever taken a bottle of oil. I don't know whether it's vegetable oil, cooking oil, olive oil. I mean, you pick your poison. Okay? Friend, listen, it's not an unacceptable taste. But it's not one that, you know, is super pleasant to the taste either, right? Like, say, sweet honey. Now, imagine too many of you, thirsty this afternoon. We're going to go home and grab yourself a bottle of vegetable oil and just pound it. Man, that'd be good, wouldn't it? Take some good olive oil. Oh, man, this is fantastic. But I don't know about you, but when I'm putting Brother Ian like honey in my tea, you know, maybe honey over some cereal, maybe in some oatmeal. You know, Corey, I'll take that spoon after I get done. I'll dip it back in there. But, you know, after I'm done getting honey out, I'll take that now. It's sweet. It's pleasant. It's appealing. It tastes good. Not to mention your sugar high, right? Which would you rather have? Fresh oil? You know, some good quality vegetable oil, Miss Jean. Just a full glass, you know, maybe some ice in there. Or a little bit of honey. Are you listening to me? Nothing changed. But them. Nothing changed. But them. Give me just a few moments. I want to break it down for you, and we'll be all done today. Amen? All right. First thing I want you to see, first and foremost, is established displeasure. I said established displeasure. Look at our text verses this morning. The first 5, chapter 11. Stay with me. I got to move quickly. Okay? When the people complained, it displeased the Lord. The Lord heard it. His anger was kindled, and fire of the Lord burned among them, consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. People cried unto Moses. When Moses prayed unto the Lord, fire was quenched, and called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burned among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish, which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic." You see, their murmuring and complaining has already caused God to, as the Bible says, consume with fire some of those that were in the uttermost part of the camp. Yes? Okay? Please take note of application. Hear me well. It's usually those that are furthest out that have the loudest complaints. Let that sink in for a moment. You see, if you're not involved in the church house in the manner that God distributes among us as a people each and every week, each and every day, then you're probably one of those who complain the most and the loudest about the things that go on around here. Hope I'm not being unkind, but I want to be clear. See, those are the people that probably, they can't find God. There's never any right that happens, and you can't see the need for church 2 and 3 times a week. You know, I just don't understand what the getting is. Listen, you're walking in an already established displeasure. Amen. Come on, people, don't get quiet on me already. I'm just getting started. There's got individuals that walk around with a negative attitude saying, or at least thinking things like, you know, if it's up to God to show me how good this man is, if he wants me to put in any type of a dedication to this thing like preacher speaks about, all while there are people 10 feet from them in a pew, even maybe this morning, who come searching for the manna from heaven, and they're not only finding it in every morning, but they still like the taste of it because it still tastes something like honey. Are we listening? Same message. Same old fat ball preacher. But they're hearing something different. Boy, friend, listen, God is still pouring it on. And the more they search for it and praise him for it, the more he continues to provide it. And listen, they're not the ones with the attitude problem this morning. You are. Amen. But then again, it's very difficult to even see that because you're standing on the outermost part of the camp, looking sometimes into the center of the camp, but usually with poor negative attitude anyway. I'm trying to help you this morning. These simple facts can be applied in any circumstance or situation we deal with. Not just the church house, but yes, including the church house. The problem begins with the initial establishment of displeasure. If I have a problem of stinking thinking, guess what I think? Stinking things. Amen. You let that become part of your character and who you are, and that's who you will become. Amen. Say, preacher, y'all just preach on smoking marijuana or homosexuality or lesbianism. Well, I don't imagine many of you are going home today with your same sex partner and gonna get high in your living room. But I may be entering into some backyards this morning with some poor attitudes. Amen. Yeah, I know, preacher. Just be quiet. Listen, this is my job. Amen. We change our attitudes, and watch this, we change our perspective. Everything we see changes. We all right this morning? Praise God. Listen, secondly, emphasizing disgust. You all right up there, Miss May? Emphasizing disgust. Do you know that that which we emphasize in our life is mainly what we also run on? I mean, think about it. And folks, that is absolutely all by choice. Right? I do that which is important to me. We hear it all the time. You watch somebody and they will show you what is important to them because that's what they will do. Not what they say, what they will do. Amen? We can emphasize the bad or we can choose to emphasize the good. But that choice will more than likely be the thought that rules my day. Amen. Look at verses 6 through 8. You still there in Numbers 11? Yep. Stay with me. We're going to look for a landing spot here pretty shortly. But now our souls dried away and there's nothing at all but beside this manna before our eyes. And the manna was its coriander seed and the color thereof was color of bdellium. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in meals and beat it in mortar baked it in pans, made cakes of it, and taste of it was the taste of fresh oil. You see, the problem was emphasized when in verse 6 they began saying there is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. Do you understand? That's where the problem started. Because now the blessing from God wasn't good enough. I talk with marriage couples that get out of sorts all the time. You know, one of the things they say to me, well, I've just fallen out of love with them. How does that work? What, you tripped over the concrete and fell out of love? You stumbled on a step? I mean, what does that look like? No, the fact is your attitude about what you were willing to give and the effort you were willing to put in for the joys of your marriage began to diminish. And as it began to diminish, so did your earnestness for what would take place in it. Amen. And now you're looking back upon it and saying, you know, I'm just not quite as bought in anymore as I was before. Well, you sure were bought in when she was walking around in front of you with a cute-looking skirt. He was a knight in shining armor. It had no kinks, remember? Sure, they may have changed a little bit over the years, but watch this. So did you. And unfortunately, when you allow your attitude to be part of that, guess what also changes? Your relationship. When your Bible reading becomes a burden, and you start thinking, well, I don't even know why I do this. I don't have time to do this. I got to get on with it. You know, I got to get to work, or I got the kids to feed, or you name it. Guess what? Now you're no longer enjoying sitting there gathering the nuggets from the Almighty God that He's willing to assist you in to make you through that day, are you? Now you're just spending time you don't have. And you got a stinking thinking problem. Same Bible. Same verses. Same precious nuggets from God. But when I look at it differently, they become different to me. We still all right? Emphasizing disgust. You see, they're disgusted with the circumstances that their very own actions had created, might I add, have been allowed in their hearts to explode into all-out negativity. And friend, listen, now their entire perspective has changed. It no longer tastes like honey, wafers with honey. Now all we have is this stinking coriander seed that tastes like oil. Now listen, folks, I need to hurry. Your circumstances will be just the way you see them to be. It's just fact. Simple truth. Two people can view the identical same problem, same circumstance, same issue. One finds fault and the other one sees opportunity. Amen. Which one do we want to be? Which one do you really think God wants you to be? Problems and disappointments are a way of life, friend. Everybody's life. I do not have the market on problems. And neither do you. And some of you just need to simply emphasize more positive things than the negative. All right? So listen, real quick, for those taking notes, and I have to finish. I got about 3 minutes, Mrs. May. I don't know if I can do it. Amen. Established displeasure. I've given you emphasizing disgust. And I finish with evolved destruction. Evolve destruction. This won't take long. Turn to verses 33 and 34 and I'll close. Amen. Am I doing all right, Mrs. Willis? All right. Look at verse 33, Numbers 11. Are you there? The Bible says, and while the flesh was yet between their teeth, here it was chewed, and the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people. The Lord smote the people with a very great plague and called the name of the place Kibroth Hattaava, because they buried the people that lusted. I don't have time to develop my final point this morning the way I'd like to, but the Bible says they lusted and complained for something more, something different, more than their insatiable wants were seeing. And in doing so, they complained enough that, watch this, God gave them exactly what they screamed for. And friend, listen to me. It destroyed many of them. And those that it did not were caught up in the heartbreak and the fallout of it. Amen. I mean, come on, people. You know what I'm saying is true. We are such a discontent people that our displeasure and our disgust evolves into our very own destruction. We can't get out of our own way. Watch this, because we got it coming to us. It's my rights. I mean, friend, there is so much more I'd love to say here. I could go on for the afternoon. But then many of you would complain and murmur because the service is too long. And, of course, that dismisses and disguises and not to mention discusses altogether the message at hand that God has brought me here for you to receive in the first place. Because the ones that do allow themselves to see the attrition of their attitude, don't miss a statement. I pause purposely. The ones that do allow them themselves to see the attrition of their attitude rarely have the problem anymore to deal with. I said the individuals who allow themselves to see the attrition of their attitude rarely have the problem anymore to deal with. Do you understand? That's the beginning of it. Everything I see it negative. I don't see the good in people. I see all their problems. I mean, Miss Gwen here may be perfect, but listen, the rest of us aren't. And if all I can do is notice what other people's problems are, as I'm unwilling to notice my own. The Bible has a word for that. You call that pride. My friend, you know what pride will create? Some stinking thinking. And you know what happens when that stinking thinking begins to culminate? Now I'm a negative, complacent, contemptible, bitter, unpleasant person. And give me a moment and I'll tell you exactly why. Walk around, you know, all sourpuss. You say we're blessed, but let me tell you about me. You're already defeated. I listened this morning. Did I mention this is something we have to keep refreshing? Because the way you think today may not be the way you think a month from now or a year from now. And if we don't keep ourselves in check, guess what? Miss Jean, it's easy to be negative. We got to work at being positive. And it changes everything. Amen. And when you don't allow yourself to stay in check, listen to me, it'll destroy you. I said it'll destroy you. You know, those Christian sins. Attrition of attitude. Let's stand this morning. You listen well. You let me harp on you. I appreciate you. As our piano player makes her way to the piano, listen. The oyster takes a grain of sand and turns it into a beautiful pearl. Many people are just the opposite. They take pearls and turn them into grains of sand. An unknown source is quoted as saying, murmuring is an outward manifestation of an inward lawlessness and rebellion against the holy God. A man by the name of William Bowen noted this in the Baptist Standard. He says, complaining is like bad breath. You notice when it comes out of somebody else's mouth, but not your own. I just wonder how many this morning, as we bow our heads and close our eyes, would be willing to take self-evaluation. How do I see things? Not asking about the person next to me. Not asking about your mama or your grandma or your sister or your child. I'm asking, how do you see it? Because sometimes, every once in a while, we're in need of checkup. Sometimes the checkup has to happen from the neck up. Because the way we see things, the way we think about things, whether positive or negative, listen, becomes who we are. Amen, preacher. When the manna first fell, man, that stuff was blessing. Man, the taste was great. My soul, what a blessing. What an almighty God. 2 years later, after wandering around the desert, and they've only been there now for 2 years because they were unwilling to be faithful enough to see God's deliverance to the Canaan land. Because all they saw with a negative attitude were the giants. Are you listening? They're there because of a negative attitude, and all they can do is complain about the negativeness that they're in. Because of their own actions, but we ain't going to talk about that. Friend, how many times is God's people? Are we kicking the fifth to Jack at night? Probably not. Are you snorting cocaine in the back room? Probably not. You walking around with bad attitude? Oh, now wait a minute, preacher. Subject to opinion. What's a bad attitude? Well, you just explained it. It's your opinion. Let me ask a question before we dismiss this morning. You died today, friend. Do you know? Without question, without hesitation, preacher. Not a perfect person, but I know I'm going to heaven because of Jesus. Are you? Because if you're here this morning, that question makes you a little nervous. It should. I don't want to see anyone die and go to hell. God don't want to see anyone die and go to hell. And I don't imagine you want to see yourself die and go to hell. Without acceptance of Jesus Christ upon his merit, unfortunately, that's where we're all going. But because of Jesus, he's provided a doorway, a pathway, a gateway. Anybody can walk through. So as we spoke in Sunday school, if that Holy Spirit of God's nudging you this morning, you're feeling awful nervous and your palms are sweaty, you got an uncomfortability and your stomach's churning and you can't figure out why you felt fine a minute ago, how would you like to know for sure right now? Is there one willing to say, preacher, I'm a little concerned about that question. Would you pray for me? Do you know you're going to heaven this morning? You know, for a Bible reason. Is there one who does not? And Lord God, by testimony, of our own reconnaissance, Lord. Father, we, as children of you, we pray that you would work in our hearts, Lord God, concerning the subject of attitude. In Jesus' name, amen.